Hey there, thank you so much for listening to the Big Time Talker podcast. I'm your Big Time Talker, Burke Allen, live in San Diego. We're at the American Library Association's annual conference and exhibition, the San Diego Convention Center, and we are surrounded by thousands of book people. They're librarians, they're authors, they're readers. Many of them are looking at us through the glass like we're in a fishbowl, and that's okay. Because I've got an award-winning author to talk to. I'm like in high cotton here. This is like the big time. Dr. Natasha Cox Magno is our guest today. The book is called A Purposeful Reading Journey with a Metacognitive Approach. Those are many big words, and I'm not a big word guy, so I'm going to need some help from her. I do want to tell you the podcast is brought to you by SpeakerMatch.com. Hey, if you're an author, maybe you're an author who likes to go out and talk about your book and you need some platforms to speak on, well, SpeakerMatch.com is the place for you. SpeakerMatch is also great if you're a meeting planner and you want to bring an interesting author or speaker in to talk to your group. Check out our show sponsor, SpeakerMatch.com. And thanks to the gang over at Headline Books and Zoom Into Books, Kathy and Ashley, all her folks, for making all this possible in the podcast pavilion. Okay, Natasha, A Purposeful Reading Journey with a Metacognitive Approach. That sounds really, really important. I'm not sure I'm qualified to have this conversation, so we're going to start and make this easy. Why did you write this book, and what do those big words mean?
Okay, so I wrote this book because I noticed that students or scholars are able to decode words, but they have difficulty understanding what they have decoded. So when we talk about a metacognitive approach, we're talking about thinking about what you are reading. And in this case, we use different strategies and tools to support scholars to enhance their reading comprehension.
Queens, right?
Queens.
Okay. I got the accent.
Okay.
I know it was Queens, Brooklyn. I knew you were from somewhere in that general world. Tell me, besides being from Queens, tell me something about yourself.
Well, I'm a New York City DOE reading interventionalist. And
DOE, Department of Education?
Department of Education,
okay,
right?
All right.
I'm reading interventionalist. I've been working for the New York City Department of Education for about 29 years.
Yeah.
What else can
I say? Who has the best hot dogs in New York?
Oh, the street vendor hot dogs. They call them the dirty dogs
the
in
dirty
New York.
Water dogs, yeah. You just got to do that.
You
right?
just got to do it. There? Or Nathan's.
Nathan's is
delicious.
And Nathan's is still the real deal.
Yeah,
right?
That's the real deal. If you're going to do anything, if you're a first-time New Yorker, go to Nathan's.
Yeah, I'm still disappointed that Joey Chestnut couldn't do the July 4th thing.
Yeah,
this
me
year.
Too. I was like, what happened?
Sad. He's doing veggie dogs now. It's just not right.
It's not the same. It doesn't have the same snap.
The snap when you bite into the dog, right? All right, so now, you wrote this book, and I am someone who loves to read.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love to read fiction.
Right.
I love to read nonfiction. Are you telling me that this metacognitive approach is going to help me to better understand or better remember what I'm reading?
Both, because once you understand what you have read, it definitely goes into your memory.
Okay.
Right? Because understanding and memory goes hand in hand when it comes to reading.
So who's this book for? I mean, who should read this book and what do they get out of it?
Okay, so this book is for parents, teachers, future educators, administrators. So I would say that parents would have a platform when they go into the classroom and they speak to their children's teacher about reading or when they hear about it, because this gives them insight into the reading for a purpose. Teachers, this is just strategies and tools that they can tailor for themselves or if they could use exactly skills that they could use in the classroom. Administrators could look at this and say, well, what are we missing? What PD do we need to do to support the educators in the schools?
When you say PD?
Professional development.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Go slow with the initials on me now.
Okay.
One of my best friends has taught second grade for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me that each successive year, this may not be right exactly in your wheelhouse, but that each successive year, it gets harder and harder to get young folks interested in reading. You know, we're in a video game age. We're in an age where, you know, when a little one is out to dinner with the family, mom and dad hand him the phone to play games to keep him quiet in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. I saw this just yesterday at the airport before I flew to San Diego. There was, I'm assuming, a family of five, a man and a wife and three little kids. None of them were talking. All five of them had their heads down in their phones. What's the answer in engaging young people and getting them interested in reading again?
Well, one way I would think is to have a family discussion. How about putting away all the phones and let's talk about what we've been reading lately? Or sitting down and like reading a book as a group for enjoyment instead of for academic matters on that court.
So like a family, that's an interesting idea, like a book club, but for the family.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Mom, dad, and the kids all read the book and they talk about
mm-hmm.
it.
And in this book, it has like certain questions that they can ask depending on the book.
So talk to me about that, because you say the book can support people that need help remembering what they read or getting them interested in reading. How does the book support them?
Well, they have a lot of things. It depends on the need of the person that's reading the book, right?
Okay.
So within the book, we have questioning, and we have strategies, such as like getting the gist is one strategy. And in that strategy, after maybe every paragraph, you may ask, who was the paragraph about, or what was the most important ideas or detail within that paragraph? And you may jot it down, and maybe a graphic organizer on the side. So by the time they finish reading the passage or the text of the book, there might be a purposeful question that they have to answer, and they could go back to their notes and actually answer the question or think about it. So it's almost like thinking as you're reading. So that's what the metacognitive helps us to do.
Natasha, were you a reader when you were a kid?
I would think so. But
you
I didn't
hedge the
I
mean, bet there a little bit now.
Well,
you hedged.
Well, I think I was a reader, but I never understood as a child how I learned to read. Like, I didn't understand the intricate, like, how did I learn to read? So as I got older and I got more into the profession, I learned about how people learn to read, basically.
Can that skill, teaching, you know, young people to read, can that be achieved in 99% of kids? Do you think there's a way?
Yes, because it's a scaffolding technique, right? I did research when reading, and I use a scaffolding technique in order to
like
support.
Like scaffolding like buildings.
Right, like scaffolding like buildings. So like every page, we would stop and we would ask a purposeful question, but we had an overall purpose question. So at the end, the students were able to answer the questions better than before when they had to read the whole passage at one time.
This book, by the way, is an Indie Book Award winner, Dr. Natasha Cox Magno. It's called A Purposeful Reading Journey with a Metacognitive Approach. And the word metacognitive means?
Thinking as you're doing. So
thinking
in this case,
as you're doing.
So in this case, it'll be thinking as you're reading.
When you read, personally, what do you like to read?
I like to read informational books. I like to learn, like books that would teach me about really nonfiction informational books. Basically,
do you like memoirs? Like, do you like to read about interesting people?
Not. I haven't really dealt with memoirs. I always dealt about learning about something. That type of book.
Learning about how something works.
Yeah.
A thing or an event.
More academic kind of or organizational type of books.
And here's why I'm asking that question. Based on what this book is about, is part of the answer to this challenge of getting young people interested in reading, and I guess anyone, right? Adults interested in reading. Maybe folks who are English as a second language, mm-hmm. getting them interested in reading in English. Is part of the answer finding books and supplying books that person is interested in, rather than trying to fit a square peg in a round
mm-hmm,
hole
mm-mm.
and make Natasha mm-hmm. read a memoir, which is really not your jam.
Right.
Let's find something that is your jam and get them interested in that. And then maybe your jam expands once you start reading.
Right.
Is that part of the answer?
Well, yes, it could be, because this is about enhancing comprehension. And once you understand something, you're able to expand it to other things. You're able to apply it to other areas.
What's a typical day for you when this is the kind of work that you do? I mean, you've got, as I was reading about you, you've got this master's of science in education, you got a BA in psychology. How much of your day is devoted to helping with this reading comprehension piece?
All day.
Every day.
All day, every day. Mm-hmm.
What's the biggest challenge you run into?
The biggest challenge is the comprehension. The children are able to decode, but as they're reading, they're decoding, they're reading the word, but they're not understanding the text. So that's the biggest challenge, getting them to be able to decode the word, but also putting the words together to understand the meaning of what they're reading.
Pretty essential, right?
Yes. Everyday life, everything we do. In everyday life, whether it's contracts we're signing, right? Whether it's things that we're cooking with, you know, what does it mean? Like, what does it mean to mix? You know, you may could say the word mix, but what does it mean to mix?
You might could say the word metacognitive, but if you have no idea what it is, as I look at our producer Greg, and he's like,
It explains it in the book. It explains it.
So, how important is it to keep an open mind when you got to go into this whole situation?
It's very important because you have to know where the learner is at in order to support them with strategies to move forward. So that's why you have to have an open mind, because what works for one learner may not work for another, or maybe one learner is more advanced than another. So it's a lot of note-taking and data analysis with this.
Yeah.
100%.
You ever work with adult learners?
Yes, I'm a college professor as well.
And so that's got to be a whole separate set of challenges.
Well, in a way, yes and no. Because when you work as a professor in college, it's really based on like writing. So you have to know what strategy to support the writing with, because as you move up into education, the writing piece is stronger, is the more focused. So yes, and I do have a strategy for writing in there as well, and I do use it throughout my career.
There's been so much focus in American public schools in the last 20 years or so on STEM.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And no disrespect to STEM, because clearly that's super important and there's a lot of jobs there. The country needs that.
Mm-hmm.
But has that focus on STEM in public schools really hurt the reading and the writing piece of it?
No, because you need to understand what you're reading and what you're doing in order to be able to do the STEM piece, because the reading permeates through all subjects.
So if you don't have that foundation,
it's
STEM
difficult. It's difficult. It's very difficult. Just like anything else, like even math. And I have it in there about math. Like when we do word problems, right? You have to understand what the word problem is asking you to do. And I do have something in there as well, like a questioning technique for that as well.
Am I going to feel really like not very smart if I read your book?
No, my book is not. No. I did not write it like that.
You promise me now.
I promise you. I did not write it like that.
I will come to Queens.
Well, come on. We can hang out.
All right. We'll have some Nathans.
Yes, definitely with a snap.
With a snap. Absolutely. Our guest, who's written this award-winning book about how to comprehend your reading and why that's important, is Dr. Natasha Cox Magno. The book is called A Purposeful Reading Journey with a Metacognitive Approach. All right, I want to leave this on a high note. I've been teasing you a lot, and we talked about the tough stuff that you see if people can't read.
Well,
but let's leave with a high note. Tell me about, and you can, or you don't have to use a name, but tell me a story or two about people that you started with that were at one place, and then they began to read and comprehend to put them in another place.
Yeah, my students, they were great. In the beginning, they had trouble with the decoding. And then once they got the decoding process down, we would read. And they were on like, I had a student that was on like kindergarten level who was in the third grade.
Right.
By June, she was on a third grade reading level. And it wasn't only in my class. It was across classrooms, because her teacher tested her as well. And she ended up on a third grade reading level. So it wasn't just my data, it was her data as well,
right.
Which is excellent when you find that, when that happens to students. That means it was something she was missing and she got it.
Is there an age where it gets harder to teach these skills? It seems like kids, in many ways, little kids are like sponges. They pick it all up right away.
I don't think so. I think it has to do with the motivation factor. Like, is the student motivated to want to understand that they have to start on a foundational level, even though they're older? Like, so it depends on the motivation of the student and how they feel. So the more we explain to them, I know from my experience, the more I explain to them about why we're doing something on a certain level, then they understand it. And then when they apply it and they realize that they apply it, they feel more comfortable and want to learn more.
What got you interested in this whole field of study? It's pretty unique.
Well, I started out as a researcher when I had to do my dissertation.
In college?
Yeah, in college, and I did my dissertation. My school said, you have to do something that's affecting the education system. So I chose reading, because reading permeates through all subjects.
Right.
And so I chose a study that supported students from the ages of 2 years old to 9. My participants were intellectually disabled, but at a 5-year-old, 6-year-old level. So with the chronological age and the developmental age of students with intellectual disabilities is usually 2 to 3 levels under. So I said, well, if the original study started at 2 with students that didn't have disabilities, so the developmental age of the students that I did do the study with, it matched them. It matched the age. It was equivalent developmentally. So I put the study into place, and I put a strategy into place that was proving to work, and it showed an increase. It showed a 60 to 80% increase.
Oh, wow. That's big.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. You have found a way with your career and your life's work to do well by doing good, and that's a wonderful thing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. The award-winning book, a finalist for the Next Generation Indie Book Awards, is called A Purposeful Reading Journey with a Metacognitive Approach. Dr. Natasha Cox Magno is our guest. And where can folks find the book?
Oh, they can find it on Amazon or School Rubric Publications, or Headliners as well. They put us on Headliners as well.
Oh, very nice.
And it comes in an ebook format as well as a paperback format. And hopefully soon we'll get an Audible as well.
If you do the Audible, you've got to voice it with that Queens accent. That would rock so
really?
Hard. Absolutely. I'm in. I want to do a radio show with you every day, just so I can hear you talk.
Find me. I'll get on there. I'll say something.
Attagirl.
I'll say something every day.
That's right. I like it. Thank you, Natasha,
Thank
for being
you so
here.
Much.
Hope you had fun.
I had a great time.
Excellent, excellent. If you know a reader who struggles, you got to pick this book up. Get them some help. This will point you in the right direction. Dr. Natasha Cox Magno. All right, we're out of time. We are at the American Library Association's annual conference and exhibition. We are right smack dab in the middle of the San Diego Convention Center, surrounded by thousands of librarians and authors and readers. And also our show producer, Greg, who's none of those things. But he makes it all happen. We thank him, and we thank you for listening. Thank you, SpeakerMatch.com. Thank you, Headline Books and Zoom Into Books. Most of all, thank you for listening. Wherever you go, whatever you do, go out and make it a great day. Bye, everybody.